The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, thank you for rejoining us wherever you are in the world. We absolutely appreciate your loyal listenership. Hello to everybody in the TNT chat room. I hope you guys are doing well. They're posting food pictures now. Don't do that. That's just going to make me hungry. I got to keep my eye on the ball here, on the bouncing ball that is the daily news cycle. And we're still trying to corral a really great guest. I don't want to say who it is because be a bit of a surprise if we actually manage to nab them in this hour. But it's an open invitation. I've floated out there into the ether. We'll see if it materializes or not. Sometimes these things do, and sometimes they don't. That's just how the ball rolls on that, folks. But it's an interesting story. I mean, this is a good cancel story. Okay, this is high quality stuff. So Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, who's a living legend, and he's got quite the flair. So he was doing, this must have been in Germany or something, but he was doing this rendition of The Wall, and a sort of dramatized to a stage show. You know, The Wall, Pink Floyd, The Wall. It's kind of a musical type thing. And it's got real kind of heavy themes politically and stuff like that. Here's the clip here. We got the audio of this, and he's dressed like a sort of SS soldier. But, you know, if you've seen The Wall, and like if you're above a certain age, you've seen The Wall. It was like a rite of passage when we were kids. You had to go see The Wall. And it's like, yeah, the Pink Floyd, we don't need no education, all that stuff. Yeah, it was just kind of a thing in the 70s and 80s. So he's doing a scene out of this thing. I think it was in Germany. It must be, because I'll tell you what happened afterwards, only in Germany. But so anyway, here's the clip. So he's holding a machine gun, dressed with jack boots on. And firing a machine gun there. Obviously, it's not a real machine gun. It's a prop with blanks. But so anyway, because he did this, the police in Berlin at this concert here have basically, I think, either arrested him or threatened to arrest him here. So it's absolutely crazy. So the anti-Semitism brigade's out in force. And Berlin, here it is, Berlin police launch criminal investigation into Roger Waters after, quote, Nazi glorifying display at Berlin concert. So, and this is the jewishnews.co.uk. Of course, they're crowing like crazy about this, saying that, oh, we've got a cancellation here. We've got Roger Waters. We finally nailed him. And as people know, Roger Waters is a big champion of the Palestinian cause. So, of course, all these hate groups like the ADL and everybody, they love to get their hands on Waters. And apparently this has been overhyped as a sort of, what do you call it, Jew hatred and Holocaust distortion. That's the reading off of Twitter here from this group. So apparently it's a vile display of anti-Semitism. But is it really? And there's a thing on Twitter now called Twitter Notes, and this is community fact-checking. And this is what Twitter Notes says. It says that this clip, part of Waters' performance of The Wall, in which portrays an authoritarian fascist, the role that Waters is playing the character in this stage drama. It is a critique of fascism, and to present it as, quote, Jew hatred and Holocaust distortion is a mischaracterization of the performance and its message. And again, link to the IMDb page for Pink Floyd's The Wall. Again, this is a classic art house film. And this particular person here is wanting to nail him, as others as well. So what on earth are the police in Germany up to? I mean, gosh, you know, you can blow up their pipeline and they won't ask any questions. But, you know, heaven forbid doing Pink Floyd on stage, like Roger Waters himself. I mean, the guy's world famous. Not only that, they've done this performance many times before. So why the surprise now? Why don't they just like type it into YouTube and say, oh, this has been done before in other countries like the USA, for example. So why is this a problem here? I think it's fantastic. I mean, that's just a nice bit of art. We need a bit of art, bit of culture, bit of culture. Roger Waters, amazing. So here's the thing. The reason they're going after him on this is because Roger Waters is a thorn in the side of the war machine. Always has been, always will be. And so any chance to create a low-hanging fruit situation here, and it shows you how feckless and shameless these people are, these cancel brigades. They'll literally make up some sort of a situation. They'll purposely misinterpret it. They'll then brigade the authorities, law enforcement. They'll say, oh, this is a violent display of anti-Semitism on stage, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't even matter if it happened or not. The point is, it's all in the accusation. As Joe Stalin once said, or Uncle Joe, if you knew him well, as Joe Stalin once said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. So again, this is the same old story, isn't it? This is the way society is going. And I dare say this is not a good development. Wow. So how long until just everything gets banned? Don't know. You can't make fun of real fascists. It's okay to invent fake fascists. Okay. It's okay to rail against the so-called far right or fascist. Trump's a fascist. You know, that's okay. You can make up that and sing it and shout it all day long. But the minute you actually turn the spotlight on the real McCoy and you start exposing that, especially if you've got profile like Waters, that's a problem. That's when the system goes into reflex mode. Yep. And this is exactly what happened. Okay. There's different types of fascism. But if you want to go for, you know, authoritarianism, fascism, the problem with fascism, the word doesn't mean anything anymore. Not like it used to, or at least was recognized by some people as they thought it knew what it meant. And there's different definitions kicking around. Synonymous with authoritarianism, obviously. So you're thinking top-down, centralized control, hardcore intimidation on the street, political intimidation. Okay, we understand all these things. Then there's the orthodox definition by Benito Mussolini, or one of his political oracles, Giovanni Gentile, in Italy. And they said fascism is the merger of corporate and state power. And this is interesting. That to me is the interesting definition. Why? Because we can apply it to today, because it's relevant today, because you can pick out examples of this actually happening in action, like the Twitter files, for instance. There's other examples of it. Other examples. So if you have, this is a good example here, we're talking about speech control. You're talking about, you know, the fake charge of anti-Semitism, which was leveled at Andrew Bridgen, a conservative MP in the UK, is quoting a cardiologist who said the vaccine rollout was this generation's global equivalent of the Holocaust. He's talking about all the vaccine deaths, the hundreds of thousands of vaccine deaths globally that either have been recorded or will be recorded by the time this year's finished. Okay, so he's saying that that's and potentially millions, by the way, injured and dead, millions globally. And so for that, using the H word, canceled, kicked out of the party, served for decades. Okay, Jeremy Corbyn, Chris Williamson, MPs, former Labour leader Corbyn in the UK, they had the charge leveled at them. Because they supported the Palestinian cause. So that was translated as anti-Semitic. Okay, is that true? Of course not. It's ridiculous. But when you have the full force of the state behind you, when you have the state basically mediating language, this is when all the problems really begin. And a good example is the LGBT farrago. So Target, big retailer, big box retailer, we're talking about it with Christian yesterday on the show. big box retailer. They come out with this new clothesline. It's like supposed to be kind of a gender fluid clothing line. That's what I'm sort of led to believe. I really don't understand what the point of it all is. But so Target had this range of product. They've got 2,000 stores across the U.S. It's a big outfit. They employ 400,000 people. It's got a market cap of like $76 billion or something like this. So they came out with a 2023 range called the Pride Collection. Pride, P-R-I-D-E, Pride. So I guess they're gearing up for Pride Month. So it used to be called Gay Pride. And it was usually, first it was a day, then it was a week, then now it's a month. And they shortened it to Pride because after a while, gays didn't like being called gay. Okay. So now it's just called Pride. And the Pride Collection by Target, they come out with some swimwear with a light binding effect on breasts. Target claimed that employees were expecting threats. It's also got gender fluid, some satanic imagery on some of the clothes there, which glorifies violence against transphobes or something like that. Abrahelen, a brand that specializes in merchandise. Okay. So this is a designer. I think it's a UK designer or something like that. Cure transphobia, not trans people, too queer for here. We belong everywhere. And some other more lurid suggested designs. And I think the problem was they were also marketing this stuff with point of sale displays. They're basically marketing towards kids. And so this is the problem. So it caused a whole backlash. So boycott ensued. $9 billion got knocked off the market cap after the backlash on this, you see. So go woke, go broke. Absolutely. So Target lost $9 billion in market cap. Their stock fell from 160 per share down to 141. It's a 12% drop. That's devastating for any company. And so I don't know, they're already in trouble, retailers. So why are they doing this? And again, this goes back to the fascism question. Merger of corporate and state power, merger of corporate and state interests. So you have a government, in most governments in the West, the worst are probably Canada, Ireland, and probably, Germany and some of the European countries are woke as anything. Woke AF. And so fascism, government, corporate. So if the state's mandating language and enforcing pronouns and enforcing diversity, equity, inclusion, not just enforcing it, ramming it down the public's throat, like you must accept that, and in schools, and drag queen story hour for children, drag queens in churches, baseball games. So this is what the state is doing. Okay. So if you come out and you say something that may be offensive or may hurt the feelings of a trans person, someone identifies as being transgender, then you get brigaded. And so that's the state. So it's become a kind of a state religion. Any language that you can't oppose is by definition a state religion. That is religious language. It might not be in the form that you're used to seeing with churches or mosques or, synagogues and whatnot. No. It's integrated into the secular language, the secular society. Okay. So they're enforcing that. So where do the corporations come in? They market this. So they meld it into their product lines and they market it and they send it around and distribute it and they make it cool. They run ads, all that stuff. It's all part of social engineering. This is the kind of stuff that arguably gets decided. It's to some degree at Bilderberg as well. So social engineering. So they're pushing this agenda. And So the corporations are really key in this because people, the modern era, we talked about this previously, people identify with brands. This is a big tribal aspect of modern life, is that you identify with brands. So then if you can combine the brand, like a Nike, for instance, or North Face, I'm giving you names of some of the woke brands that are ramping up their rainbow lines for next month. Apple, Nike, North Face, Target. Okay, so you bring that together. You bring the brand together with the ideology, and then you create a merchandise. You mainstream that merchandise. Black Lives Matter, good example. Good example. You see a lot of political clothing in mainstream outlets in the wake of the George Floyd thing. So they're taking advantage of the wave of righteous indignation, discontent, social justice, division, hate between races. So corporations are ready to capitalize on this stuff. And by doing so, they help to promulgate the idea, to promulgate the ideology. And by doing so, they accentuate the division. You see how this works? That's fascism. That's a total merger of state and corporate interests. That by definition is fascism. So the whole woke LGBT thing, as it pertains to all the corporations, is fascism. And if you come out and you oppose it, you're basically, you will be penalized, you'll be targeted, doxxed, you'll be seen as a far right, you'll be called all sorts of names. And people have a right to question this stuff. Why do we have to politicize every single space? If you're taking your kids into a department store to buy clothes, why do they need to be pelted with political, ideological, extreme ideological messaging and satanic messaging? So they're combining even the satanic stuff is being woven into the progressive agenda. Do you see where this is going? These people don't have any limits. That's what you have to understand. They have no limits. This is why they do what they do. They want to be limitless. They want to push this chaos and division right to its absolute maximum. So there's a conservative backlash against this. And is that going to be enough, really? Is it going to be enough? So, and again, Target, Minneapolis, they got looted and burned, torched to the ground. 10 million. So what did Target do? After they got torched, looted, and burned, they gave 10 million to social justice initiatives. What on earth is that? What's a social justice initiative? Throwing money at programs that really just kind of get people rich who work in those programs. They really probably do little, nothing. It's a joke. 10,000 hours of pro bono consultancy services for black and people of color owned small businesses in the Twin Cities. Wow. Okay. So Target is 2021. Target announced an investment of $100 million through 2023 to help fuel economic prosperity in black communities across the country. So this is their reaction to George Floyd. So apparently they were afraid because they got targeted by the mob, their shops. And the only reason Target gets targeted because they're called Target and there's a big Target painted on the building. It's a no-brainer. Of course, when you have a marauding mob trolling through the streets of Minneapolis with 2x4s, a bag, a bottle of kerosene, and a few Molotov cocktails, and your name's Target. Good luck. That's all I can say. It is a more sexy Target than Walmart, for instance. And so, that's what they did. So that was their reaction. They got torched, and then their reaction is to give hundreds of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter and all these other programs and quote initiatives. Years later, and nothing changed, didn't do anything. Some people got rich. So it's incredible. So yeah, this is it. Climate change, here's another one. Climate change. If you go against climate science or the consensus, you're a climate denier. The government's defending this. So climate change is a secular religion. It's a secular religion. It's official state policy. It's official state belief system. That's a religion. It's good. Another example, vaccines. That's a state religion. Ooh, don't say anything about the vaccines. Ooh, if you say they don't work, if you say they're not effective, if you say they're not safe, that's heresy. That's blasphemy to the state. You'll be shut down. You'll be called an anti-vaxxer, smeared, put down, ostracized, anti-vaxxer. And the mainstream media will pile in and put you on a disinformation list like the BBC are doing with BBC Verify. Literally collating, keeping blacklists of people that they call anti-vaxxers or conspiracy theorists. So vaccines is a good example. That's state religion. State religion. And you might be laughing and saying, no, no, Pat, what are you talking about? It's no different if you're in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. And if you say something that's haram or blasphemous that offends them and their religious sensibility as it relates to, you know, absolutely hardcore Sunni Muslim extreme interpretation, Sharia law, etc., and all that, the Taliban, ultra, ultra, ultra conservative. So when they're in charge, state religion is Islam. And the clerics are going to patrol and police everything strictly. You say something out of line, you could end up getting punished, let's say, disciplined, punished, whipped, whatever, or worse. So that's state religion. It's no different. The only thing missing with climate denial, Holocaust denial, COVID denial, vaccine denial, all these sort of denial, is the punishments are not as yet extreme as it would be in, you know, Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia. But it's the same principle is what I'm saying. It's the same principle. Any other good examples of this? State religions? Those are big ones. If you don't believe in the virus, if you don't believe that the virus is the novel, deadly respiratory pathogen, once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, whatever, if you don't believe in that, yeah, you used to get censored and deplatformed on Twitter for that. You still will be on Facebook. Who is policing all that? Well, would it surprise you if I told you that the head of trust and safety at Facebook is a former CIA agent? Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of other CIA, FBI, and Department of Homeland Security agents working for Facebook and Twitter. Used to be in Twitter. I think Elon's fired most of them. And they decide what's dangerous misinformation on COVID and vaccines. So anything you say which they deem to be promoting vaccine hesitancy, you get shut down. I've got all the files. It's in Twitter files with Matt Taibbi. We have the receipts. I'll be presenting actually a good seminar on that for the end of COVID. That's a major online virtual event and symposium, the biggest ever of its kind. That'll probably be going live in, like, I think June or July. I'm going to be presenting on that very subject. So I've got all the receipts. It actually happened and is happening. So you see a merger of corporate and state interests. Understand the definition. Recognize when you see it. Recognize it. And that's the thing. That is the real fascism. The corporations kind of play the role of the church in a certain way. If you think about it, the Vatican is a type of a corporation. But this is without the church and the crucifix and the priests and the frocks. It's the transnational corporate network that play the role of the global religion, the global church, the corporate church, government and the corporate church. Not a real church, it's a transnational corporate church. And they run all the agendas. They run all the social engineering themes. They rotate the themes. And yeah, that's it, folks. That's what it's about. Let's take a break with TNT. Today's News Talk. and gear up for the final stretch of the final hour. After these messages, I'm Patrick Henningsen. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's State of the Nation.
And speaking of the State of the Nation, what is it today, Lynn? Is it abysmal? What's the barometer? What is the State of the Nation today, Lynn?
We know what the State of the Nation is, but we are here, Brian, to empower, encourage, educate, and give hope, because the corruption, the criminality is so off the charts. Nobody could write this. If this was a Hollywood screenplay, nobody could write this. And I just have one question for you, Brian. Where's Hillary Clinton in all of this? I'm just going to leave that dangling out there with everything happening with Durham. Where's Hillary?
Where is she? You know, where is she? I saw a piece of footage from her earlier this morning as I was newsing around the feeds, and it was pretty shocking. Essentially, this was some years back, and she was talking about the Russia collision thing, and she made the comment, I'm paraphrasing here, well, if the Republicans are getting help from Russia, maybe the Democrats should get help from China, as though it was a joke. I mean, it was truly, truly satire gone wrong.
Remember, Brian, they tell us exactly what they are doing. They put it in our faces. So I think that is very telling.
State of the Nation on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing. We can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Right of Center USA is working to educate tomorrow's leaders with facts and data-driven policy solutions, and to elect, empower, and encourage politicians willing to fight the corrupt status quo and truly represent we the people, with a focus on ROTC, National Guardsmen, Reservists, and GI Bill collegians. Right of Center USA provides internships that pass along our patriotic values to the next generation. Go to rightofcenterusa.org to learn how you can support its mission of creating tomorrow's leaders today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
With a compelling perspective on global politics, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, folks, welcome back. Welcome back. We're nearly in the home stretch. Home stretch of this live broadcast. Thank you guys for rejoining us here on TNT Today's News Talk. This is TFI Fridays. Hope you guys are gearing up for a big and wild weekend. What are you going to do? You're going to go crabbing in the Chesapeake Bay? We have any U.S. listeners here? Any crabbing enthusiasts? Yeah, I used to do that. Take the boat out in the estuary. Just drop the net. Just drop the net like a foot below the surface of the water, in a muddy bit, shallow bit. And boom, filled with massive, massive crabs. Better than anything you'd get frozen in any supermarket or whatever. Like, the real deal. You put them in a pot, knock them on the head, steam them, hot butter, nothing else, no frills. Newspaper on the table, bowls of hot butter, steamed crab straight out of the big giant sort of tin or steel pot, massive steel pot. Yeah, we got to sort of knock them on the head, unfortunately. Got to knock them out before you steam them. Yeah, whatever you're doing this weekend, be careful. Be careful. Do not push yourself too far. Don't have that last drink. That's my best advice. Quit while you're ahead. Always leave the game when you're at the top, when you're winning. If everyone took that advice, wow, talk about life improvement straight off the bat. You're Your quid's in at that point, folks. So Gavin Newsom, talk about woke. So when I say Gavin Newsom, I'm talking about the governor of California. And, okay, he might be the next president of the United States. If you truly in your heart of hearts really believe that the 2024 election is going to be Weekend at Biden's, have you seen that movie Weekend at Bernie's? Again, I'm showing my age, but people, these are good sort of cultural sort of benchmark concepts. Weekend at Bernie's is a corpse. It's had to pretend the guy's alive in order for some reason. I can't remember the plot. So Weekend at Biden's is you got to pretend that Biden is compos mentis and that he's like cognitively there. Physically, he's not about to collapse or fall over and break his hip coming down the gangway at the Air Force One or whatever. So you got to pretend that he's still kind of functional just to get through the election. That's a big ask. I don't know how they're going to do that. So if it's not going to be Weekend at Biden's, it's going to have to be Gavin Newsom, the great white hope. So why would you, okay, two terms as governor of California. Oh, that's, there have been U.S. presidents who've been governor of California, Ronald Reagan being the most prominent. Big state, obviously, but what's the problem? Well, a lot of people hate him in California. That doesn't stop some people anyway. He's younger. He's got a full head of hair, although he uses a lot of hair gel, which to me is a little bit gruesome. He could be the next president. That could be the Democratic nominee. And just some inside baseball, those of you who do or don't know about U.S. politics, the Democrats choose their winning horse in advance. I'm just a bit surprised that they're going to run Joe Biden. He might not even make it through the election cycle. So they have to, it's going to be problematic. So how are they going to do this? Are they just going to retire him and then push Kamala Harris into the presidency? I mean, it'd be a disaster for America because she's completely incompetent and doesn't know her whatever from her elbow. She's not that bright. She is notorious for serving up word salads and probably doesn't know a whole lot about anything. She was chosen for, because she's a woman of color. Those are Biden's own words, by the way. He said he telegraphed in August of the election year, hadn't chosen his VP pick, and he says, I'm going to choose a woman of color as my VP. So that literally the short list was tiny, and they sort of did the sort of pin the tail on the donkey thing. Blindfold them, spin you around a few times, take the point, and there's Kamala there. So a random pick, and she's a nightmare. She's a nightmare. Not bright, not particularly a nice person from what I'm told. So is it going to be Newsom? Is it going to be Michelle Obama? What's it going to be? I don't think Michelle Obama is electable, personally. She hasn't done anything. But she's got the Obama name, and then they'll say, well, we get Barack as well, and he'll actually be running the country. I can see some sort of really crass plan like this, and Democrats would go for it too. Listen, if they went for Biden, they'd go for Michelle Obama. I mean, I kind of think she's unelectable. She's not a serious politician, or don't know what her core competency is, other than she's married to Barack. It's kind of like a Hillary thing, but with less political experience. Anyway, Newsom is on the warpath. What's he saying? He's blasting the Target CEO. He's calling him a sellout. Newsom's claiming nationwide a systematic attack on LGBT people is imminent. Wow. So Target executives embracing woke capital were completely oblivious or maybe ignorant to the Bud Light moment, Dylan Mulvaney, the collapse of Bud Light for promoting a trans person, a guy who pretends to be a woman, an offensive cross-dressing tranny, transgender. I don't even know what to call them anymore. I'm going to plead ignorance. I'm a Luddite. I still use the word transvestite. I know it's out of date, but I'm an old-fashioned guy. So tranny, transvestite, you know, whatever, crucify me. Dylan Mulvaney, because damaging boycotts by conservative beer drinkers. Yes, the trans community have launched a boycott of their own because the brewer abandoned Mulvaney. So that's the counter boycott. This is getting interesting. So you got the boycott and then you got the counter boycott. So the first boycott was normal, lunch pail Americans, working class folk, rust belters, people like NASCAR and football, baseball, but they don't like the trans freak mascot that Bud Light chose. Again, I say the word freak, but I don't mean it as an insult. It's a term of endearment. You know, it's like a compliment to Dylan Mulvaney. You know, when they say, yeah, man, you look really freaky, man. Like, yeah, man, he was a real freak. That means you're cool. You see, so I'm not insulting Dylan Mulvaney when I say freak. So see, I've caveated that. So I've covered myself. You see? See how we do that? Okay. So a similar situation is unfolding as Target, as Democrats are furious with the retailer's move to remove LGBT products from the storefronts. So let's rewind a bit. So America boycotts Bud Light. The share prices collapse. Sales collapse. They'll never come back. Everyone I've spoke to, even if they give it away for free, they won't touch Bud Light. And literally Walmart's giving it away for free as we speak. Nobody wants it. And so the trans community launch a counter boycott. So they're boycotting Bud Light as well for abandoning Dylan Mulvaney. So it's a double boycott. Talk about a known goal. So the trans community are hurting them as well. So it's just like a terrible outcome. So same sort of thing with this Target farrago. And so Democrats are all up in arms, and they want to do a counter boycott as well. So basically, if you go woke, not only will the mainline people, now the cis heterosexual Anglo-Saxon white Christian community, not only will they boycott you, but the trans and the LGBT will pile in and give you the knockout punch. How about that? I mean, that'll make you think twice about going woke. What do you think? I don't know. This is amazing. This is amazing. There's more to this. Oh, this gets better. This gets better. Newsom is a diehard progressive, and he's on absolute rampage. This is unbelievable. That's a future president of the United States, potentially. Gavin Newsom, gelhead, as I like to call him, the wind tunnel master. That's how powerful his hair gel is. Wind tunnel tested president. Amazing. Let's take a quick break here with TNT Today's News Talk, and we'll be right back after these messages.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Remember Too Big to Fail? That was the popular narrative about large banks to justify the unprecedented federal bailout following the 2008 financial crisis. Well, there's an implication in Too Big to Fail, and that is, if you're not that big, go ahead and fail. Well, that's exactly what's happening right now, as small community banks and slightly larger regional banks are being allowed to go out of business, and the mega banks being allowed to purchase all their assets. What's happening is a concentration of wealth, financial services, among just a handful of mega banks, who will then set the agenda. We've all seen how regulatory capture has impeded the financial markets, with the FEC being functionally owned by the large Wall Street banks, and FDA and CDC being functionally owned by Big Pharma. Well, allowing the big banks to set the agenda does not bode well for the future, especially when they start pushing for central bank digital currency, CBDCs. Watch out, America. It's coming. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than 5. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision-impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
Speaking on the issues that impact. This is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Listen, so it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. It's getting wild. It's getting wild. This is going to be a crazy summer. And I'm really scared for Portland and some of these cities. But so Newsom's on the warpath, future U.S. president, likely anyway. And so he's on the warpath. So this guy's a hardcore progressive. I mean, this guy was a COVIDian dictator, okay? He was the Hitler of COVIDianism, Gavin Newsom, California governor. They're so cruel in California that during COVID, during lockdowns, they were chasing surfers around. They didn't want the skateboarders to be able to skate at the skate parks on the beach. So what the California authorities did on the order of Newsom was to take bulldozers and take sand from the beach and pour them into the skate parks so that nobody could skate in them. This is a level of insanity and cruelty that is unrivaled and matched. And to top it off, it's a farce as well. This is evil clown world personified. So that's Newsom's California. And so, and this is the problem with Democrats is, and I don't want to pick on them because I used to be one. However, you have to call a spade here. And they do a lot of virtue signaling and they claim to be the champion of the oppressed. And they do this every time. And this is how they marshal votes, by claiming that only the Democrats can save you if you're a marginalized person, a minority, or so you're on the LGBT spectrum of whatever the identity thing is, or the immigrants, or this, or that, you know, the poor, what else? Something or other, you name it, they're there for you. So anything to get your vote. And then once they get elected, then it's like, you know, I'm busy. We've got to go to the gala ball. You know, the got to go to the $10,000 a ticket Met ball or whatever, you know, or the red carpet affair for whatever film, or the Oscars, the Emmys, the this, the that. That's life. And we got to go because the donors are there. We got to court the donor class. It's all about raising money. That's what most politicians, truth be known, most politicians, especially in America, I'm not going to speak for all countries. In Britain, they do need money, but it's nothing like the sort of the amounts that they throw around in America are obscene. Like literally some campaigns have a budget that's in excess of some countries' GDPs. I know it's perverted. It's extreme, but that's the way it is. And so what they do is then, while they're virtue signaling, their cities turn into hell holes. And there's so-called third world countries. If you go to the favelas in Rio de Janeiro, they're cleaner and more well-organized, and the people are living more pleasantly than they are in the streets of San Francisco, a Democratic-run city. And they keep voting for the Democrats in those cities time and time again. The homeless increases, the fentanyl use, and there's zombies walking around on the street, defecating everywhere. I kid you not, I see videos every day. And I love San Francisco. I grew up just south of San Francisco. I spent great memories of San Francisco. It's a wonderful city in principle, but the people running it, they've kind of let it go a bit, let's just say. And not just San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, Philadelphia, now New York again, is off the rails. New Orleans, it's always been off the rails, New Orleans. But even Miami is going down the tank, okay? And this is what happens. So you get extreme wealth, you get total political despondency from these bureaucratic elites, and then you just get carnage on the street. Chicago. What is that but a war zone? Minneapolis, You saw what happened during Floyd. It's ridiculous. So this is Democratic America, and the king of it all is Gavin Newsom. And so he appeared furious with the, I think it was the CEO of Target. His name is Brian Cornell, I think. Yes. So Newsom says you're selling out the LGBT community to extremists, and because basically Target is relenting on the boycott. Okay. So Newsom is basically having a go at the CEO. Because the CEO of Target gave a directive to a lot of stores to remove the LGBT or satanic themed products ahead of Pride Month. So a Target insider told a Fox News reporter that swimsuits for transgender people to gender fluid coffee mugs, as well as many other LGBTQ plus products, were removed from the storefront or shifted to the back of the stores where nobody could see them to mitigate, as they call it, mitigate consumer boycotts. So what is a transgender swimming suit? So apparently these are bikinis for men, or more specifically, men who believe they are women. Okay. So how does that work? Bikinis for men. Right. Oh, I see. Extra tackle space. So a gusset on the bikini bottom. Okay. Yep. It's weird, folks, but it's money. There's a market for it, apparently. We're told. Not a big market. So what's all this fuss about? So here's Newsom. This isn't just a couple of stores in the South, says righteous and indignant Gavin Newsom. There's a systematic attack on the gay community happening across the country, says Newsom. He says there's a jihad against, a straight jihad against the LGBT community. Come on, Gavin. Seriously? Anyway, so CEO of Target, Brian Cornell, selling out the LGBT community to the extremist, is a real profile in courage. This isn't just a couple of stores, so it's a systematic attack. So he's got 2 million followers on Twitter, does Newsom, and he might have kicked off a boycott by Democrats. Wow, this is precisely what happened with Bud Light. So again, so a double boycott. This is amazing. So they're really tanking. So how many more companies are going to go with this policy after this? Because this is not a winning move. But the thing, why this is important, this story, because this is the first politician to kind of sound the alarm, who is basically preempting a major cultural backlash. And he's basically saying that he's blaming it on the people who won't sit, like the CEOs like Brian Cornell from Target, because he won't submit to the mob or the trans lobby or whoever, and he's backing off on this, pushing the satanic products on the kids, and basically doesn't want the backlash from real Americans. I say real Americans, I'm speaking about middle America, because this is where all the Target stores are. We talked about this with Christian yesterday. So I think this is a huge miscalculation, but it's very revealing. It's very revealing. They push the agenda so hard. They offend just about everybody you can imagine. They target the kids with all this depraved merchandise and the drag queen story hours and all the rest of it. They're really pushing hard. This is an extreme minority that are determined to ram this agenda down the throat of the other 99% of Americans. And now they're crying foul because there's going to be a systemic backlash across the country. What did you expect was going to happen? Did you think everybody was going to embrace all of this? They're so aggressive with the agenda as well. They can't, these people can't back off. It's like, yeah, you're getting pushback on the drag queen story hour for the kids, right? Yeah, you're getting hard pushback, right? Why don't you back off with that? Because the world functioned quite fine before without, you know, having drag queens everywhere. Next thing, they're going to want to have drag queens reading church sermons. Okay, they're going to be brigading the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church. They must have a drag queen read the gospel every Sunday. Otherwise, that's going to be hateful. Is that going to be hateful conduct against trans if you don't allow a drag queen gospel hour? Okay, this is just performative. Absolutely, that's all this is. This is performative political power play. Using, quote, protected status, whatever you are, it could be anything, by the way. And we said this the other day. It doesn't have to be LGBT, it doesn't matter, black, white, whatever. It's about you use an identity on the spectrum of identities, all the genders, the colors, the ethnicities, the whatever. You pick an identity and you weaponize it. And then with that, you can wield political power. So whoever doesn't bend to your will, you can accuse them of being a transphobe, a homophobe, a racist, far right, extremist, white supremacist, And so that's all this is, weaponized identity politics. We started, I hate to say it, but it's true, okay? It's true. And included in that spectrum as well is the weaponization of other epithets, including the anti-Semitism charge, which we said at the beginning of the program, how this is being leveled at Roger Waters, falsely leveled at world famous recording artist from Pink Floyd. And it's not because anything he said or done is, quote, anti-Semitic. It's because of all his other speech and protests against the war machine. He's an anti-war activist. He's a human rights activist. He's very effective. And so the establishment will just use any excuse to take him down. And it's the same with this as well. We're going to have to face this as a society, as a culture. If Western society is going to survive, they're going to have to find a way to deal with this, because this is out of control. And the goal here is to destabilize society, to sow more division under the supposedly virtuous banner of equity, diversity, and inclusion. The more they push, quote, the more they enforce, not push, enforce diversity, the more tension you'll have between different groups. Just ask anybody that's been to diversity training, corporate, working for the government, or whatever, or school, diversity education. All it does is amp up people's suspicion of other people. That's what it's designed to do. Or maybe it wasn't designed to do that. Some well-intentioned progressive thought this would be a good idea and didn't realize it does absolutely the opposite of what it's intended to do. Okay? We didn't have diversity training in the 70s and 80s, and we got along just fine. In fact, interracial relations were never better. And in the 90s, the same. And the early 2000s was still okay. And then things changed. Things changed. Not long ago, about 15 years ago. That's when things started changing. So I wouldn't say it's not only because of Barack Obama as president, very divisive. He did play the race card. He liked to divide, use it as a Saul Alinsky acolyte, divide and rule. Identity politics. It wasn't only because of Obama. It was because this is where the progressive establishment, the Democrat establishment, the corporate establishment, the think tanks, the NGOs on both sides of the Atlantic, they were already heading in this direction. The weaponization of radical identity politics. As if that was the only thing in the world that mattered about a person. Not their personality, not their individuality, not their unique attributes and their flaws. No, no, no. What matters is what color you are. And then you can assign a victim status to that. And certain people have more status than others, and so on and so forth. It reminds me of Animal Farm by George Orwell. That's a good book to go read. Some are better than others on the animal farm. Some of them are walking upright, some on all fours. Some have privileges, some don't. Time to go back and read Orwell. Let's take a big thank you to Matthew Russell Lee, Inner City Press. Big thank you to guys tuning in. What an amazing week it's been. Absolutely powerful. We got all our interviews up at 21st Century Wire. You can also look at the archive at tntradio.live. Just go to the Patrick Henningsen Show. You'll find our archive there. Stunning, stunning interviews and segments all week. So catch up on your podcasting there. Thank you guys in the chat. Much appreciated. Be careful and behave this weekend so that we can see you back here on Monday. And tune into the Sunday Wire, 21st Century Wire. Big bomb dropping. Big story on Sunday. Huge story. 21stCenturyWire.com. Take care, you guys. Top of our news headlines coming up.